Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Kings chapter number 20, and I'm glad I'm saved tonight. How about you? And I'm thankful for salvation, and I'm glad that I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. And I'm glad that if you're not, you can be before you leave tonight. Amen. And what a joy that is. 1 Kings chapter number 20, and we'll look at a few things out of here tonight. If you write in your Bible, you're probably going to have these 3 points wrote down in it. But I promise you, I've got a lot of different things in it that I've never preached. As a matter of fact, if you hadn't been here for probably 8 or 9 years, you're not even, I preached this probably 10 or 12 years ago here at the church. These 3 points, I didn't deal with everything I'm going to deal with tonight. It was just basically the 3 points. But I want to look at this tonight and give you a little thought. Yesterday at the Magnify Conference, man, we had a great time, and I enjoyed it as always. That's a wonderful, wonderful day. And next year, I hope that you'll plan to go to it if you didn't this year, and we just have a good time. And one thing about it there, you're going to get to eat. And they take a break about every 5 minutes is what I tell them. Man, they have all kinds of snacks. And I drank more coffee yesterday than I have in 3 years, I believe. But anyway, then I drank some orange juice. Brother Randy got up and stumbled out. And I didn't know if he'd smoked something before he'd come in or if his sugar dropped. So I thought I better go out and make sure. And his sugar was dropping. And we went out to the fellowship hall. And I poured him a big old glass of orange juice. And Brother Jonathan, I told him, I said, man, you don't need to drink that by yourself. So I poured me a big glass too. Amen. But we had a good day. But my topic yesterday was time management. It's what I taught on yesterday or spoke on yesterday. And I dealt with it, of course, out of the book of Ephesians on redeeming the time. And talked about being wise with the time that God has given us. And you know what? Have you ever heard this statement made? Have you ever heard anybody say, you know what? If I had as much time as they do, I could sure get a lot done. Anybody ever heard that statement? May it's okay to nod your head up and down. The truth of the matter is this, you do. Did you catch that? You do. Everybody has the same amount of time every day. The problem is this, how are you managing your time? What are we doing with our time? And that's what I dealt with here. And I'm not going to deal with all of that tonight. But as I studied on that, the Lord brought me back to this text, and I began studying this text again, and I want to give you just a thought out of this. And let me just say this to you. I believe that we will stand before God for what we do with our time. God gives that to us to be wise stewards with, and that's the reason He says, redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. The days are evil, and because of that, we need to make the most of the time that God has given us. Here's a good way to tell if you're wasting any time. Tomorrow evening before you go to bed, I want you to journal what you done yesterday or tomorrow. Journal everything that you do tomorrow. It took you this long to get ready. You spent this much time eating. You spent this much time traveling. You spent this much time at work. You spent this much time on social media. Are you with me? Look at your phone. It'll tell you how much time you spent on it. Spent this much time on social media. I spent this much time watching the Andy Griffith Show. I spent this much time reading the newspaper. Do they still print one? I spent this much time. Are you with me? And at the end of the day, look at it and see what you did with all of your time. And then I want you to take that and compare it and see how much time you spent praying and how much time you spent reading the Bible. Here's something else I want you to do. I want you to also write down how many times you shared a gospel tract or the gospel with somebody in one day. You know, it will surprise us how much time we waste and how much we don't share the gospel. So I want to call your attention into this verse tonight and give you a little thought. You can remain seated. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter number 20. Now, I'm not going to take time to read the whole chapter and go into all of it. I just want to call your attention to a few verses closing the chapter out. The Bible said in verse 39, "And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man." Now, if you're writing your Bible or you're underlining your Bible, I'd invite you to underline that phrase, "Keep this man." If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was, if you underline in your Bible, I invite you to underline these next words, busy here and there. He was busy, but he was just busy here and there. And as thy servant was busy here and there, watch what he said, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, So shall thy judgment be, underline these words, thyself hast decided it. In other words, he's saying this, you decided what's going to happen to you. I give you a command, you didn't listen to it, so you decided what was going to happen to you. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thine hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. Now, if you underline, I invite you to underline this last thing. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased. Boy, that's a sad statement, is it not? The king was displeased with his servant that was busy, but he was busy here and there, and says, and came to Samaria. Father, I love you. Lord, I pray that you give us the mind of Christ over the next few minutes, God, and Lord, that you help me to relay to your people, God, what you've given to me. I pray, God, that we would get clear understanding from your word, and God, I pray that you would help us, God, to be wise stewards, Father, of the time that you've given us. We'll be careful to give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look into this thought for just a few minutes tonight. And I want to talk to you about this right here. The servant that was just too busy. The servant that was just too busy. Whenever we look at this tonight, that's exactly what the Bible tells us. It says in verse number 40, "And as thy servant was busy here and there." The story provides a powerful illustration of neglected priorities in this servant's life. God has placed things in our hands. God has given us responsibilities, whether they be spiritual, personal, relational, or ministerial. And just like this man right here, we can lose that what we're supposed to guard if we're not careful and become busy here and there. I want to show you three things tonight, and we'll go home and eat a chicken wrap. Number one, I want you to see this. Y'all thought I was going to say eggs and potatoes, didn't you? Number one, watch this. There is a definite mandate that is given. There is a definite mandate that is given. Go with me back to verse number 39. "And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside, and brought a man unto me, and said, Keep this man." There was a definite mandate that was given right here. Can I say this about it? His charge was clear. There's nothing to question about that. There's no gray area in that. There's no, I just don't understand that. The charge that he gives in this mandate is very clear. It's not mysterious. It's not confusion. Here's what he says, keep the man. God's commandments are not complicated tonight. It's just that we have a problem obeying what he says. God's commandments are firm tonight. God's commandments is plain tonight. The issue is not clarity. The issue is priority. Can I say that again? The issue tonight about God's commandments is not clarity. The issue is priority. The issue with this servant tonight that was just too busy, it wasn't that he was not clear on what he was supposed to do. Man, how much clearer could it be? Keep the man. The problem was priority. His charge was clear. His charge was a trust. What did he say? The king put this into his hands. It wasn't his job to question it. It wasn't his job to improve it or to explain it. Just simply obey it. God has placed things in our hands today. God has placed things in our trust today. One of the most sobering things that I think about is that I will stand before the Lord, not just for me, but I will stand before the Lord as a father and as a husband, the way that I lead my home and my children. But I'll also stand before God for Amazing Grace Baptist Church and the way that I lead Amazing Grace Baptist Church. He has placed that in my trust tonight. God has placed things in each of our trust. Can I say this? He placed the gospel in our trust. He told us to go into the world and preach the gospel. He didn't tell the animal kingdom to do that. He didn't tell others to do that. He didn't tell the lost to do that. He told the church to go preach the gospel. He's placed our families in our trust, our testimony in our trust, our church responsibilities in our trust. He's placed our walk with God in our trust. We didn't choose this assignment. God entrusted this assignment to us. We didn't choose it. He entrusted it to us. This servant that was just too busy, he didn't say, hey, let me keep the king. Let me keep the prisoner. No, you know what he done? He was assigned that. There was a definite mandate. Think about this. His charge was conditional, though. He said, preacher, what do you say? What are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. The Bible said this, if by any means he be missing, thy life shall go for his life. Faithfulness always carries consequences. Can I say that? Faithfulness always carries consequences. What we do or fail to do with what God gives us matters. We have duties to love God, to walk in holiness, to witness, to pray, to serve, to guard what God has given us. We have a duty to do that tonight. There's a definite mandate. Keep this man. There's a definite mandate for you and I tonight. Number two, watch this. There was a distracted mind, and this is where I wanted to get to. Not only was there a definite mandate, there was a distracted mind. Look what the Bible said in verse number 40. And as thy servant was busy here and there. See, he wasn't busy about what the master told him to do. He wasn't doing what the master said do. He was busy here and there. Here and there is a tragedy in this story tonight. He didn't lose the man because of rebellion, but because of distraction. He didn't lose the man because he was being rebellious to the one that gave him the mandate. He simply lost the man because he was distracted with something else. I wonder how many parents, listen to me, I wonder how many parents have lost their children because they become distracted with something else. Because they become distracted with something else. They lost their kids because they was too worried about what everybody else was doing. They lost their kids because they was too worried about chasing an almighty dollar and making just a little bit more money to try to give a little bit better life. And what they don't realize that in doing every bit of that, they're losing their children in it because their children don't have a parent. Just being honest with us tonight, there's a distracted mind. I want you to note a couple of things about this. This man's not wicked. He's just busy. He's not wicked. He's just busy. He wasn't sinning. He was just busy. Nothing says that he goes out and commits adultery. No, he just became busy here and there. He just became distracted. I said this yesterday and I wrote it down a while ago. The devil doesn't have to make you bad. He'll just make you busy. The devil doesn't have to make you bad. He can just make you busy. Busy where? Here and there. Not in the mandate that he's given. Just busy here and there. Some believers aren't worldly. They're just preoccupied. Sometimes the devil doesn't need to tempt us with evil. He keeps us occupied with everything else. You know what? I don't believe tonight, and I might be dead wrong, and if I am, may God help you tonight, but I don't believe that we have a church full of adultery and fornication and drunkenness. I don't believe that tonight. I don't believe nobody's going to leave out of here and go shoot up on dope tonight or smoke a joint or anything like that. I don't believe that, but I'm going to tell you what can happen in the midst of us coming to church. The devil will not make us bad, but the devil will make us busy. He'll not have to attract us with the allures of this world. He'll just preoccupy our mind with good things to keep us from doing the best thing. With good things to keep us from doing the best things. He's not wicked, he's just busy. I thought about this. He allured everything to become more urgent. What did he say? He said he was here and there. Running, doing, running again. He had, listen to this, he had motivation without mission. You ever, and I said this yesterday, you ever got to the end of the day and looked back over your day and somebody said, hey, did you have a good day? Did you get a lot done? I really don't know what I done, but I sure run a bunch of places. You ever got to the end of the week and somebody said, hey, did you have a good week? Man, I did. Well, what all did you get done? I don't know. Can I just be real honest with you? When I do say that, and I do say that every once in a while, Brother Stan, but when I do say that, I feel like an absolute failure in the eyes of God, because God entrusted me with the day. God entrusted me with the minutes of that day, the seconds of that day, the hours of that day, and he told me to redeem that. The devil would just get us busy. Busy here and there. It's not that we're doing something bad. It's just that we're distracted from the main thing. And what is the main thing? The main thing is souls. He had motion without mission, activity without accountability. He traded responsibility for business, busyness. His priorities became inverted. A distracted mind. The lesser took priority over the greater. The good stole time from the best. His distraction was not in what he did. His distraction was in what he left undone. Wasn't necessarily in what he did. It's what he left undone. He's not supposed to be here and there. He's supposed to be watching that man. He's not supposed to be running over here and worried about what's going on over here. He's supposed to be watching that man. He's not supposed to be over there worried about what's going on over there. He's supposed to be watching that man. Can I tell you something tonight? It's not my place, and you've heard me say it a million times, to worry about whatever other church in the community's doing. I'm not worried about what other preachers are doing, where they're preaching at, and what they're posting on social media. No, God gave me a direct command, and that was Pastor Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And may God help us to not get busy here and there, and our minds become distracted. Our minds become distracted. His priorities become inverted. The lesser took priority over the greater. The good stole time from the best. His distractions was not in what he did, but what he left undone. You can spend the entire day moving and accomplishing nothing that truly matters. I want to ask you a question tonight. This distracted mind. What are you losing because you're busy here and there? Did you know every yes is a no to something else? Every yes is a no to something else. When that individual says, hey, can I have some of your life? Did you get what I said? Can I have some of your life? You know, nobody walks up and says, hey, can I have a little bit of your life? But when they come up and say, hey, can I have a little bit of your time? You know what they're asking for? They're asking for your life. Time is what life is made up of. And when you go up to somebody or they come up to you and say, hey, can I have a little bit of your life? When you say yes to that, you know what you do? You say no to someone else. And the problem is this today, as adults and as parents, we find ourselves saying yes so many times to others and no to our own family, our own children, and the needs of our own home. A distracted mind. What are you losing tonight because you're busy here and there? Could it be your prayer time? Could it be your marriage? Could it be your kids? Could it be your purity? Could it be your Bible reading? Distraction is often more dangerous than disobedience because we don't notice when it happens. Can I say that again? Distraction is often more dangerous than disobedience because we don't notice when it happens. There's a definite mandate in this text. There's a distracted mind. But in closing tonight, I want you to see this. Number three, this is the most serious of all of them. Look with me in verse 43. And the king of Israel, which is the one that gave him the command, the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased. There's a definite mandate. There's a distracted mind. And when the definite mandate becomes distracted in your mind, it will always produce a displeased master. It said the king went home, and as he went home, he was heavy and displeased. Can I ask you a question tonight? Is what you're doing displeasing the master? Or is he pleased with what we're doing with our time? He was busy. It's not that this guy's a bad guy. It's not that this guy is going out into the world. No, he's just busy here and there. The disapproval from the master. The declaration. So shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it. The master announces the consequences plainly. And you know who chose the consequences? The servant. The servant. The king didn't choose the consequence. The servant did. I want you to hear me tonight. You know who chose the consequences of David's sin? David. David was the one that messed up. David was the one that failed God. And when you mess up and consequences come on you, don't you blame that on everybody else. You're the one that made that decision. You're the one that made that decision. I get so stinking sick and tired sometimes, Brother John, of hearing people trying to pass the blame on everybody else when the temptation was just too great. No, it wasn't too great. You was just too weak. There's no temptation taking you, but it's common to man. The Bible says this, that with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. The problem was this, you was busy here and there, and you didn't have your priorities in right, and temptation came your way, and because you weren't listening to the definite mandate to guard yourself, your mind was distracted, and the consequences you'll suffer is because of the choice you made. The greatest consequence is this. The master was displeased.
The master was displeased. The master was displeased. The servant's neglect determined the master's decision. I was reading the other day, and I read across this, and I'll give it to you in just a second. I thought about it. Miss Daniel, you come start playing softly. I thought about this. This unnamed soldier in our story serves as a mirror. It shows us what happens when duty becomes optional, when distractions become normal, and when downfall becomes invertible. Why don't you ask yourself this question? What has God put in my hands tonight? What has God put in my hands tonight? What is it? And whatever it is, don't trade it for busyness. Don't trade it for distractions. Don't trade it for a master being displeased with you. Guard it, keep it, protect it, just like your life depends on it. I read this the other day. It said, years ago, in New York City, a mother went up to the roof of her apartment to hang laundry. She placed her baby in a carrier beside her. Then her phone rang. Then a neighbor called out to her. Then she went back downstairs to stir dinner. 30 minutes later, she froze in terror. The baby was still on the roof. She didn't forget her child because she didn't love her. She forgot her simply because she got busy here and there. No malice, no wickedness, just distractions. Sometimes the greatest dangers of our spiritual life are not evil things. It's the important things left setting on the rooftop. Maybe something like your Bible, your marriage, your prayer life, your purity, your ministry, your calling. Not because we don't love them. She didn't leave that baby there because she didn't love it. She simply left that baby there because she became distracted. How many times, now y'all ladies probably won't be honest here, how many times have you left something on the stove? And the way that you remembered something was left on the stove was because of the alarms going off in the house. Are you with me? It's not that you was mad at your spouse and wanted to burn his supper and him not having I hope it wasn't that reason. It was simply because we become distracted. How many times have we got to the end of the day and thought, you know what, I didn't get this done. I was supposed to call this individual. I told this individual I would do this. I told him I would do that. It wasn't because we was being rude. We just become distracted. How many times have we got to the end of the day and laid down in the bed and went, I didn't read my Bible? It's not that we don't love the Lord, Brother John. It's not that we have a hatred towards God. How many times we got to the end of the day and laid down in the bed and said, man, I didn't pray like I needed to today. It's not because we don't love the Lord. How many times have we got to the end of the week and looked back over it and said, I told my child I was going to spend more time with them this week. And man, I've spent less with them than I have in a long time. It's not because we don't love them. Let me tell you what it is. We just got busy here and there. Here and there. I said this yesterday. When you plan your day, and I want to ask you this question. When you wake up in the morning, do you have an agenda for your day? And if you do, how are you going to accomplish that agenda? The last thing that I'll look at before I go to bed tonight, besides my wife's face, is this, my planner. I'm an old school guy, still got a handwritten planner. And tonight, Brother Lloyd, I'll look at my planner before I go to bed. It'll be the last thing that I look at. So it's in my mind when I sleep, and when I wake up in the morning, I'll remember what I looked at last night. And in that planner, I've got planned out the things that I have to get done tomorrow. There's not an option. I've got to get them done tomorrow. And when you plan your day, when you plan your week, they should be the big three, the top three things. Number one, God. Well, let me say that again. And if some more will say amen, we'll go home. Number one's God. Before anything else, it's my time with Him. God's number one. Number two in my life and in my time is my family. Now, there's an order that comes also. Number one in that, it's my wife. It's not my kids. It's my wife. It's not my son-in-law. It's my wife. It's God, my wife, then watch this, my kids. And I view it this way now. I don't have three, I have four. It's the way I view it. Mason's my son now. My kids fall right after that. After that, some of you young people won't understand this, some of you older people will, is my parents. And Leslie's parents. That's the top two. Number three, and the big three, is ministry. There's a whole bunch falls in that. You don't have all night for me to talk about it. Ministry, number one, in ministry comes Amazing Grace Baptist Church. It's not the meetings that I preach. That's not what it is. It's Amazing Grace. This is the priority of the ministry. For you, number three should be your job. You've got to, especially if you're a man, you've got to support your family. You've got to sustain them. That's good preaching right there. I'm going to ask you something. What are you doing with your time? What are you allowing to distract you and pull you away from the very best in your life? We waste so much time. We waste so much time. Brother Joe told me this morning, we talked a long time on the phone this morning, he said, Barker, I said, what? He said, years ago, he said, I've been pastoring 41 years. He said, years ago, I had a crazy woman tell me she didn't have time to read her Bible. I said, all right, sit down. He said, she sit down. And I said, tell me about your day. She said, do what? He said, tell me about your day. What do you do when you get up? She said, well, I get ready and eat breakfast. He said, what do you do next? She said, I go to work. He said, what do you do next? He said, I come home. He said, what do you do next? She said, I cook supper. He said, what do you do next? She said, I eat supper. He said, what do you do next? She said, I clean supper dishes up. He said, what do you do next? She said, I go take a bath and get ready for bed. He said, what do you do next? She said, I sit down and watch TV for an hour. He said, what do you do next? She said, I go to bed. He said, I think you got time to read your Bible. It's just you're not using your time right. Where are we busy at tonight? Is it here and there? Or is it in the definite mandate that God has given?